Good morning. All right, let's start in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1. Joshua chapter 1. You ever have so many thoughts in your mind that you just don't know where to even start? That can be kind of bad. I had to kid with Pastor because yesterday for the ladies' tea, many of you ladies were here. Well, actually, I was here for a while too. Not taking part in the tea, okay? Not taking part in the tea. they had a little quiz, I guess you could say. Would you call it a quiz? Is that what we call it? Dear? Would we call it a quiz? Okay, they had a quiz. They had a whole bunch of words that started with T. You know, because it was a lady's T. You see how that fits? Anybody? Okay. They had a whole bunch of words that started with T, like truth and trials and thankful or give thanks. The reason why I'm so acquainted with all those words is because I got to do the computer design of this thing. So, but I was kidding with Pastor because Mrs. Austin was doing hers, I guess, or got done with hers, or I don't know the full story. But anyway, she's like, I want one of these to take home to my husband because I want to see how many of these he can do without using his Bible. Because, you know, well, when especially when you're given a quiz, you can feel like you're put on the spot a little bit. So some of the ladies might have felt that way, but he has not taken it yet. So because I was wondering how many he got right. Well, and I told him, I said, now, careful here, because all the answers are over here now on the bulletin board, on cards. So, you know, don't look over there. And that's what he did. He put his hand up like this. And so anyway. News coming soon. Hopefully he'll do it this afternoon. We'll find out. But anyway, we all need more and more time in the Word, memorization time. None of us are there. None of us are there. But praise God, the Lord Jesus is and was for us. And last week we had a very, very busy Sunday. A very busy Sunday. We left an hour and a half earlier than we normally do for church because the church we went to was in Owosso. And it was a little shorter than I thought, so we got there a little bit early. But praise the Lord for that work over there, Bible Baptist Church of Owosso. Pastor's name is it Tim Whalen? And, you know, they got a group about the size of ours. You know, and I read, Actually, it was something he read while we were there from Brother, Winona Lake. Yeah, Brother Williams. Yeah, exactly. He had his newsletter or whatever he sends out, and Brother Williams was talking about how he traveled in churches in like three or four states, and he said normally the size of the church that he preaches in is like 50 to 60, you know, but he said praise God for those 50 or 60 in those different places. You know, we can't underestimate what a small group can do. You know, because it's not what we're doing anyway. It's all about how big God is and what He can do. But yeah, they're probably 50 to 60. You know, it looks like an old, maybe it's an old theater. Actually, didn't you say you maybe had been there before? It's like an old theater, I think. Like not a movie theater, but where they had like a stage deal, and they got the theater seats or whatever. But you know, they're just a lot like us. You know, as far as just trying to keep on keeping on, trying not to get discouraged, trying to just be faithful to get the word out. But it was a blessing to be there. We were there Sunday morning. Then we went on to a birthday gathering for my wife's niece and nephew, and then came back there Sunday night. It's good, you know, it's good to know that, you know, when you're away from home, there's places that can be found where we can be encouraged, you know, and be an encouragement to them. Actually, the preacher there kind of caught me off guard. He said, he said, I want you to come up front. And I thought to myself, well, that could be dangerous. That could be really dangerous. But I controlled myself. I only took like 2 or 3 minutes. But anyway, he just wanted me to tell about the printing work. And so I had a chance to just explain to him that, you know, we have a duplicator. It's not like we have some warehouse with presses or anything or whatever. You know, we just print them on a duplicator, and the Lord allows us to send them all over the world, and we just thank him for that. And it's all of the Lord, and we're able to do it free of charge. And left them with, I think, one of pretty much every Bible course and a few tracts. And I don't know that we got them. Did we get them out of? Yeah, we got to get them out of track sample packs so they can see all those. But they were, you know, interested in that. Actually, I think our Sunday school teacher's wife used them as with a Bible study with other ladies. So they had a few, and they were a little bit exposed. But I mean, the sky's the limit as far as what people can do with those. So, but anyway, it was a real blessing to be there, and you know, that opportunity. You know, hopefully the Lord will use it. They can get those Bible courses and tracts and stuff and use them. But there's nothing like your own church. Nothing like your own church being able to be here. And I don't know what time. I think we ended up getting home about 9 o'clock. So it was a pretty long day. But you know, just because the day is long doesn't mean it wasn't a good day. You know, it was a good day, and we thank the Lord for it. We traveled a lot of miles, and we're safe, and many blessings. But let's start with prayer, and then we'll get into the Word here. Father, we do thank you for your love and goodness, and we thank you, Lord, for how you do meet all of our needs. And, Lord, just that hymn, Day by Day, Lord, if we would just take to heart all the truth of that song there, that hymn that you've provided for us, Lord, Father, what an encouragement it would be, what a blessing it would be in our hearts and lives, Lord, when we face struggles and difficulties. And we do pray, Father, to just realize that we need to live day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour, Lord, for you. And Lord, do not give care for the past or the future, Lord, but just by faith, live in a way that you're pleased with day by day. And we do ask, Father, just during this time that we would humble ourselves, that we would really see, Father, that in and of ourselves we're nothing. We are very needy, spiritually, physically, and Lord, just as you provide the next heartbeat and brain waves, Lord, to keep us alive, Lord, spiritually speaking, help us to stay tuned into your word, Lord, that you might use us in a mighty way. Just lead, guide, and direct in this time this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. So Joshua chapter 1, Joshua 1 and verse 6. No, actually, we're going to start in verse 1 here. Joshua 1 and verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even under the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Imagine being Joshua. You're leading the children of Israel. Imagine being Joshua and thinking back to all the problems there had been along the way. All the problems. And now God is telling you, Moses is dead. You've got to lead now. You've got to be the one to bring him in. In our own selves, it's an insurmountable task. But you know, in many ways, it's no different as a husband and father trying to lead a family. And we might think, well, wait a minute, though, that was way more people and way more this. But you know, in and of ourselves, we can't do it on our own. We can't do it. And that's where we get into trouble, is thinking that we know something or we're able to do something apart from the Lord. But just as Joshua had that responsibility to lead, as men, we have the responsibility to lead. And just like God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God is with us. God is with us. Hold your place here. Let's look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28. This thought, this idea, this truth, it has to be something that is a part of what we are thinking on every day. And more than just every day, all the time, day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. The Bible teaches us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, and then 14:23 of Romans, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We have got to be constantly thinking on the fact that God is with us. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And that's that's the truth for us. God is always with us. And the fact that all power has been given unto Jesus in heaven and in earth, that's got to be a comfort to us, because Jesus indwells us. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, somewhere in there it talks about Jesus is in us. The Holy Ghost is in us, indwelling us. And he's never going to leave us. And in whatever we're thinking about, let's turn to Hebrews. I think it's 12. Hebrews is the right book, I'm confident, but I don't know if it's 12 or 13. I think it's 13, actually. Yeah, it's 13. Hebrews 13. But Jesus is always with us. You know, and sometimes, I know I've used this illustration many a time. I saw a preacher use this about how, like, if God is the light and a piece of paper is our problem, you know, when we look at God through that problem, God's fuzzy. God's kind of a little bit dimmer than he normally would be. And I guess it would be the color of the paper, too, that would dictate, or the kind of paper. I mean, if you got some of this paper now that, well, I mean, I think we got to get different paper for tracts and different paper for Bible courses now, because the ink bleeds through. You know, so it depends on the type of paper. I mean, if you got a piece of black construction paper, you know, and if that's how we see our problem, and we're having that problem in front of God, you know, seeing God through the problem, so to speak, there's not a whole lot of God visible through a piece of black construction paper. You know, white regular paper, you know, you can see a little of God. So really, in many ways, it's how we perceive the problem. Do we see it as insurmountable, impossible, you know, like a black piece of construction paper, or do we see it as, you know, a smaller one? But really, that's not the issue at all, because we need to put the problem behind God. We need to put the problem behind the light and see, because if we have God at the forefront of our thinking and of our desires and of our hopes, the light in front of it is going to kind of blur out that problem behind it. And it's not going to seem, well, it's really not that big of a deal when we know God is in charge and God's going to take care of us. Verse 5 of Hebrews 13, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No matter what our problem here, it's specifically talking about covetousness, but whatever it is, just like Joshua, before he has to enter the promised land and lead the nation of Israel, God said, I'm going to be right there. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. We have that same promise. And see, it's not God that gets out of touch with us. It's us that gets out of touch with God when we feel, you know, is God really there? You know, does he care? Is he really interested in this particular struggle that I'm dealing with right now? And the answer is a hearty yes. He's interested in everything. Does Jesus care? You bet he cares. But sometimes what we do is we put that problem in front of God, and we see God through the problem instead of putting the problem behind God and realizing God's big enough. God's big enough. The short circuit, so to speak, is with us. So let's go back to James 1, or Joshua 1 then. Joshua 1. God is right here all the time. All the time. I mean, it tells us in James to draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to us. God's right there. God's right there. The short circuit is us, not him. But continuing on here in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all of the law, excuse me, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The world defines success in a lot of different ways. And really, just like there's many, many people, they've got their own way to God figured out. It's the same way with success. You probably, if you ask 10 people on the street what success was, it's very likely you'll get 10 different answers. Or you'll get 5 or 6 different answers. You know, money, house, bank account, you know, family, different things like that. But God's word is very clear. The only way to truly be successful in life is to obey what the Bible says. And there's many times when, because we don't see results right now in the obedience, we kind of waver sometimes in our certainty of that truth. You know, we kind of waver. But we have to take God at his word that it's always best to obey, always. No matter what it might seem like, no matter what the consequences might seem, no matter who we might make happy, no matter who we might make upset. Because we all know doing the right thing does not make us a friend of everybody out there. But whether or not it's going to seem like the consequences for the moment are good or not, we still need to obey. And that's the only way to truly be prosperous, and that's the only way to truly be successful in God's eyes. But in verse 8 again here, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And this whole idea of meditation, I want us to look at Psalm 15. Let's turn to Psalm 15. We're not talking about Eastern religion meditation. We are talking about scriptural meditation. And obviously, from what we just read, God expects us to meditate in his word. In his word. This this verse kind of, these few verses here in Psalm 15 just kind of really something I mulled over this week. But Psalm 15, verse 1, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Speaking the truth in our heart. That's a part of meditation. Because, you know, we all think a lot. We all think a lot. You know, in Proverbs 23, in verse 7, it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What we think has a great bearing and impact upon our attitude. It has a great bearing and impact upon what we do. We see from Psalm 19, in verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So much of what we think and meditate upon is what we say. I mean, the Bible talks about, for out of the heart man speaketh, for out of the abundance of the heart. And so much of what we do, so much of what we believe, because see, if we have right belief, that's going to come from right thinking, and if we have, and that's going to result in right actions. I'm trying to see if I can find a verse here. But if we have wrong thinking, then it's going to end up with wrong actions. Excuse me. Let's see. Yes, Matthew or Luke 6:45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And what is that treasure? That treasure is what we're meditating upon. It's what we let sink down into our hearts. Because we all know that every day, there's potentially dozens of things that we end up mulling over, meditating upon, thinking about. It might be things that happened, things that people said. It could be things that we wished happened that didn't. Or things that people said, we wish they would have said but didn't. But all these things, you know, we can interpret them in different ways. And we have to be really careful making assumptions about what people meant by what they said, or what they meant by what they didn't say, or what they meant by what they did, or what they meant by what they didn't do, because we can take these in and make assumptions and things. But the point here in Psalm 15, do we really want God's blessing? And the answer would be amen. We want God's blessing. But the idea here is, to get that, we've got to speak the truth in our heart. We've got to speak the truth. We know from John 17 that God's word is the truth. You know, and I guess right now I'm kind of speaking in generalities. You know, just in generalities. But I mean, it's got to come and hit home for husbands. It's got to come home and hit for wives, children, church members, church leaders, Sunday school teachers, employees, employers, every role we might take. Because, you know, we might, it's real easy in marriage to get the wrong idea. You know, well, let's see, what is it? Today's the 3 more weeks, I guess, from today. 3 weeks from today, 2010. 18 years that Lynn and I will have been married in 3 weeks. You know, I think I've shared that before, but when we got engaged, there were some who were saying we wouldn't last a year. We wouldn't last 2 years, whatever it was. But, you know, and I could have taken that in and got all bitter about it and, you know, tracked somebody down and stood over them, and, you know, but what good would that have done? Or I could have taken that in and said, you know, they're probably right. You know, my parents were divorced when I was like 6. Lynn's parents got divorced after we were married. So we could say, you know what, we're doomed. We are doomed. We're going to have to get a divorce because our parents did. But you know what? That's not true. That's absolutely not true. Because you know, God talks about how he visits the, let's see, that's Exodus 20. Let's try Exodus 20. Turn there by faith. Hopefully I'm right. Exodus 20. Let's see. Yes, we are Exodus chapter 20, and we need verse 5. No, let's see. Yes, it is verse 5. Exodus 20, verse 5. Exodus 20, verse 5, thou shalt not bow down, not bow down thyself to them, talking about the graven images and so forth, of verse 4, nor serve them, for I the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You know, some people have the wrong idea about this verse. I've actually seen well-known people preach and teach that people are doomed to commit the sins of their parents. They have no, there's no option, because God says right here that he is going to visit the iniquity on the children. But you know what? You got to read the whole thing. You can't just read one verse and build a theology out of it. Because it says in verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. What we become or do is not dependent upon what prior generations in our family have done. We're not doomed to that. Because you know what? God will bless us if we keep his commandments, if we do what he says. But so much of that is dependent upon chapter 15 of Psalm, verse 2, upon speaking the truth in our hearts. Upon speaking the truth. There's a lot of situations that we come across. A lot of situations, a lot of family situations. It was really a blessing yesterday. I don't know if there was 40 ladies here, ladies and girls, I don't know. But that's outstanding. That's fantastic. I mean, praise God for everyone that was able to come. Praise the Lord for, you know, the tease little thing that they had to, not T-E-A-S-E, like tease, like children tease. I mean, T-E-A-S, like, there are different kinds of teas. You know, there's not, I don't drink tea. Cold, hot, lukewarm, I don't drink tea. Ice cold, I don't drink tea. But there's different flavors of tea. Now, that might come as a revelation to you. There's a lot of different flavors of tea. Not that I would have known that, or not that I could name one is what I'm trying to say. But they had fun with that, and that's great. You should go out here. Okay, wait, let's back up. If you want to take the tea quiz, do not go over here and look at the bulletin board. All the answers are right there. That's why Pastor went like this. So if you want to take the tea quiz, see me. I'll get you a tea quiz. Then maybe you could compare with your wife. Of course, your wife maybe doesn't have hers anymore. I don't know. Because there was a bunch of them on the tables out here that they just left. And I was helping take care of things afterwards. And so you might be able to dig it out of the trash can, though. Because it might be still right out here. But if you want a tea quiz, no, don't get nervous. It's not about flavors of tea. What was the thing that had all the spices in it, though? Ginseng and what was... Is that flavor? Is that stuff that they put in tea? Is that it? Types of tea. See, that goes to show you just how ignorant of tea I am. But anyway, I wouldn't have got any of those probably. But if you want to take the tea quiz, not the one about the types of tea, but the teas of truth and so forth, and match them up with verses about that in the Bible, I'll get you one. But like I said, don't go over here. But they had a blessing. You know, one of my daughters said, "Boy, that went really well. That was great." And it's a blessing to hear. But you know, just like anything, you know, sometimes things are said or not said. You know, here at church, you know, sometimes maybe we want to talk to somebody and they don't have time, and we just have to be really careful what we say in our hearts. We got to speak the truth. You know, and in many ways, it starts with what we say about God, what we think about God. Do we really, really believe God is holy? You know, we in 299 there, it's interesting how you sing a song and certain parts of it really kind of jump out at you. The whole song this morning. Of course, this song has been one of my favorites. Like verse 3, help me then in every tribulation. Help me. Number one, we got to realize we need help. When we all know tribulation is going to come, it's going to happen. Difficulties are going to happen. And we got to realize we need God. But do we realize even within the tribulation, God loves us? God wants to take care of us. You know, we all have scriptural hopes and desires for things we want to accomplish, things we want to see happen. But you know, 99, oh, let's see. You guys ever seen the t-shirt, 5 out of 4 people, students have trouble with fractions? You ever seen that one? Anyway, yeah, there's a t-shirt like that. 5 out of 4 students or people have trouble with fractions. Well, but anyway, it's about 5 out of 4 times we're going to, you know, it's a guarantee we're going to have tribulation. There's going to be difficulty. You know, and there's always the temptation to, does God really care? Does he really care? Yes, he cares. But see, when we actually, I mean, it's one thing to ask the question, okay, and then answer a hearty, yes, he cares. Of course he cares. But when we start to question that, you know, God's goodness, you know, because, boy, I got a hard time. God loves us, period. God loves us, period. So verse 3, help me then in every tribulation so to trust thy promises, O Lord. Because instead of the tribulation becoming the forefront of our struggle, it's got to be the truth of God's word that's going to carry us through. We have to speak the truth in our heart. So to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation. I mean, how quickly can that happen? You know, how quickly can we forget what Jesus paid for us? How quickly? You know, do we forget all that he did and does day by day? I mean, we've looked at, I think it's 2 Peter. Let's turn to 2 Peter. I'm pretty sure it's 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. Yeah, 2 Peter 1, verse 8. The previous verses there are telling us to add your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. You know, and we need to be diligent about that. But then in verse 8 it says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to be fruitful. But then verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind. You know, spiritually speaking, we get blinded when we take that trial, that temptation, that struggle, and we put that at the forefront of our mind. Because that is in the way of us seeing God and what God wants to do in us and through us and for us through that struggle. You know, that light, you know, that it's like a lamp with a light on top. And if I put that problem in front of that light, God is blurred out. And for all intents and purposes, I've got some blindness. I can't see very well. But if I put that paper behind, now the problem gets a little bit blurry. And it's not going to impact us when we see how good God is. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And this right here truly is the basis for much of this. And that is realizing the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. And we already looked over here in Hebrews 13 about the other part of the focus needs to be he's with us right now. He paid everything for us to provide eternal life. He's with us right now. It's not like he paid that penalty, allows us to get saved, and then abandons us. He paid the penalty, and for everybody that repents and trusts Christ, they're saved, but then it's more than that. It's we have a deposit. We have the Holy Ghost within us. We have the Lord Jesus within us. He's right here with us. So those two things, he paid it all. We've been purged from our sins, and he's right here with us. You know, sometimes we think, I can't handle this. This is too hard for me. The struggle's too great. The difficulty's too much. The path is too difficult. You know, we talked recently. We went over to Hoffmaster State Park, and there's one place there where you got to go up, I don't know how many stairs. Did anybody count those? Anyway, dozens of stairs. And it's about straight up. And, you know, those of us who are getting a little older sort of couldn't keep up with those of us that are younger in our family. But then we started talking about, yeah, we should go to the dunes. You know, we should go to the dunes, you know, because it's like straight down to the water. And then we're kind of having a discussion like, will we make it back up? I don't know. Anybody know? They got an elevator or an escalator or anything to help people who can't make it all the way up, make it up. Anyway, but, you know, we need to, sometimes we see our problems like that. It's like, it's impossible. I can't do it. I'm not sure I can do this. But you know what? In reality, that right there is the beginning of getting help. Because when we realize I can't do this, but we realize that, hey, Jesus is in me. I've got his word, and I can live by faith and know God's good, and he'll bring me through this. Now, sometimes the consequences along the way might not be what we would hope, but they're always for our best. We need to remind ourselves of that by speaking the truth in our heart and saying, you know what? whatever becomes of this, it's for my best. Because Jesus, God, are always trying to help me grow. Help me grow. Let's turn to James 1, and we'll be done here. James 1. So James 1, verse 2, says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." How am I supposed to do that, we might ask? Because we've got Jesus. Jesus paid it all. Jesus is in us. We can do that because we know God's good. We can do that because we know God is going to bring us through. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Can you imagine being in a state of wanting nothing? I mean, I had a snack last night before I went to bed, and I woke up this morning hungry, and I wanted some food. You know, it's just the nature of how things are. But I mean, being perfect and entire, wanting nothing, spiritually speaking. Now, obviously, we're not going to make it there. But that's our goal. I mean, Matthew 5:48, be perfect like God's perfect. But we're only going to make progress on that when we live by faith. And like it says there in Psalm 15, when we speak the truth in our hearts and our minds. Because too many times we're tempted, or we actually give into the temptation, to not speak the truth. And then we're off, way off in the woods. We got to come back, you know, and make it right with the Lord. But it's key in our families, in our church, in our goals, whatever. We got to speak the truth in our heart. And then we're going to have God's blessing. Then we're going to have our words be what they should be, our actions be what they should be. Then we'll be usable. Then God can use us, and we can be prosperous and successful. Let's pray. Lord, we do want to just give you the praise and the thanks just for your patience with us, Lord. We just pray, Father, that each one of us would allow you to search us and try us in our hearts. Father, just help us to see where we fall short in this area, Lord, that God, because of your love for us, because of the penalty you paid for us, because of the fact that you're with us, you're never going to leave us nor forsake us, Lord. Because of that, Lord, whatever we struggle with, we can be victorious. We can have faith, Lord, knowing how good you are and that you're going to bring us through. And as a result of that, Father, we're going to be better for it. It's tough, Lord, to see that in the midst of the struggle at times, but Father, help us to realize that we've got to focus on your promises, that we might just live the life of faith that we need to. We just pray, Lord, for your blessing in the service to come. Just continue to work in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.